This past Shabbos, we read in Parshas Yisro of the Aseres HaDibros. Of course, prominent in the Aseres HaDibros is, of course, the Yisro of Malacha HaShabbos. Maybe even more prominent in a certain sense than any other mitzvah that is most developed of the Luda competition for Osachmo and Odezara, but since it's one of the most developed of the Dibros, is Shabbos. The fact is that Shabbos appears in Torah Shemitzah in many, many different parshios. Sefer Mitzvah notes that there are at least 12 parshios in which Shabbos appears very prominently. And the question, of course, is why? Why does the Torah keep repeating the theme of Shabbos? In general, there can be two reasons for repeating the theme. One is because it's very important. It's necessary to underscore this theme again and again, because it is so central, it plays such an important role in our lives, that it's necessary that we continue to underscore that theme. The Torah begins essentially with Shabbos, and Parsha of Bereishis, of course. And the truth is that the Gemara in Sabbath Testament Base, in Masechet Shabbos, notes that Shabbos isn't only the seventh day of creation, but Shabbos is really the first full day since man's creation. We're discussing the problem of Mahalach Hamidbar, a person who becomes confused, disoriented, he's lost in the desert, he loses track of time, and it's difficult for him to, you know, figure out when Shabbos is. Gemara has a whole discussion of what he is supposed to do. And Gemara initially has records of the day whether or not this individual is supposed to observe a day of Shabbos, and then count another 6 days, and then another Shabbos, and so on. Or does he begin with 6 days of counting, and then Shabbos? And Gemara explains that partially it depends on these two perspectives. On the one hand, if you look at Bereishis from the perspective of Briyas Shamayim Va'aretz, so Shabbos is really the seventh day. On the other hand, if you focus not on the larger picture, man's own creation. So really the first full day, it's a perspective that we don't always appreciate, the first full day of creation is really the day of Shabbos. So everything revolves around Shabbos. Shabbos' centrality in our lives is almost axiomatic. In Sugya Masechet Beitza, the Chazayin, you know, explains that, Rashi quotes in this week's Parsha, that when you see something, you know, that seems appropriate for Shabbos, you should send aside even during the week. And it's a day between Beisil and Beishamai. About the details of that, when we say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, a more optimistic approach, I guess. Or indeed, everything revolves around Shabbos, and you can never know when something better is going to come along, and you should already be squirreling good portions for Shabbos at the beginning of the week. The Ramban, in his famous piece in Parshas Amar, again in his Drash of Rosh Hashanah, explains that the Klal Yisrael don't have days of the week. They don't have the equivalent of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and so on. They have Yom Rishon. It's called Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Rabi, Yom Chamishi. Everything revolves around Shabbos. In our Tfilos, we speak of Shabbos not only as the last day of creation, but as Tachlis, Mas of Rishis. So Shabbos is so central. It's really the bridge between Kedusha and Chol. Once one suggests that, at least according to Rashi's list in Parsha a couple of weeks ago, in Parsha's Shalach, of what it is that took place in Mara. Klal Yisrael complained in Mara. According to Rashi, the list of mitzvahs that they were given was Paraduma, Eden, and Shabbos. I just wanted to suggest that Paraduma represents a certain extreme. Of course, the concept of Chukim, not just any Chukim, but, you know, the ultimate inner logic. Today, Paraduma represents the independence and self-sufficiency, the inner logic of Halakha. Dinim represents the fact that Kedusha applies not only to Paraduma, to the mysteries of life, but it applies all day, every day, in an overlapping way. Dinim is something which B'nai Noach have as well. And the fact that Klal Yisrael have their own unique dinim, this is particularly important. Mishpatim v'yada'um halaluka, we say. Chukav u'mishpatav l'Yisrael. Some of the Mepharshim ask, B'nai Noach also have dinim. So in what sense do we say that, you know, this is something that is unique to Klal Yisrael. Mishpatim ba'yudahum ha'luka. It's quite possible that there are many answers, and they're really all in the same direction. But in particular, this is focusing on the Aravim and the Dinin, the idea that you can have a link between Chukim and Mishpatim, Chukav and Mishpatav, that's what's unique to Klal Yisrael. And the Gesher between them is the one that is least hinted at in Pasuk. It says, Sham Sam Lo Chok U'Mishpat, Chok is Aravim, Mishpat is Dinin. Where is Shabbos mentioned? But in a way, Shabbos is the bridge between them. Because Shabbos establishes that there is a Chol. It's legitimate to have a Chol, Sheishas Yamim Tavon. But that Chol is dedicated ultimately and revolves around Shabbos. So it's the way, the bridge between Paraduma and Dinin. In any case, many partials of Shabbos that undoubtedly come partially in order to underscore, in order to emphasize the role that Shabbos plays in our lives. But there could always be a second reason, of course they're not mutually exclusive, for there being many partials in the Torah dedicated to what appears to be a single institution. That is, that the Torah wants to underscore that though it is a single institution, there are diverse motifs. In other words, we see from the different contexts, the way that it's introduced, the way that it's formulated, and so on, that this particular institution, though it unites much, it also reflects different dimensions and different themes. The different partios, formulation, context, and so on, underscores these different themes as well. So there is even two partios of a Saras and Nivros, as we know. Zachar and Shamar, Bidubarechot. If you think about it, Zachar and Shamar represent really two different perspectives. Zachar, the positive, Kiddush, under the rubric of Zachar. Shamar, which focuses much more on preserving, being conservative, make sure you don't trample upon Issa Malacha. Both actually are formulated in the emphatic, not Zachar and Shamar, as in Parsha note, but Zachar and Shamar. When you say Zachar the Shamar b'dibur echad, so Mash'ein ha'ozen yachal l'shmoa, basically what we're saying is that Ribbono Shel Olam revealed to us that there is a mystery here, and that is that Zachar and Shamar are two sides of the same coin. They're one theme, the Dibur Echad, but at the same time, there are two different partials. We have to relate to them and appreciate each element. This is true not only in Zachar v'Shamar, part of the Aseres HaNivros, but undoubtedly it's true about other aspects of Shabbos too. We have Shabbos in the very first parsha, in Bereishis, Zecha L'Maaseh Bereishis. And then we have Shabbos, sometimes Zecha L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, connected with the Mishkan, in the aftermath of the Egel story, all of these undoubtedly meant to underscore the Mara story, all of these undoubtedly meant to underscore different themes and different aspects, different dimensions of Shabbos, which we are obligated to fully appreciate, so that will enhance our understanding and our observance of Shabbos itself. What I'd like to speak about today is just one issue in the overlap, and that is the relationship between a positive and a negative commandment. Mitzvah Saseh and Mitzvah Lo Saseh of Shabbos. Are there two different themes, number one? And if there are, if there's a separate Aseh and a separate Lav, what is the relationship between them? Let's start from the beginning. Is there a separate Mitzvah Saseh of Shabbos beyond the Isur to do the 39 Avos Malacha, which, among other things, is included in the Parsha we just read, Los Saseh Kol Malacha? There seem to be several psukim in the Torah that hint at a positive, as I say, Zachor, Mushvartem, Shabbosso, Tishbos. These are all psukim that appear in different places in the different parshas in the Torah, the 12 the Rambam speaks about. It would appear that any of them could be a candidate to serve as the Mitzvah Saseh Shabbos. And indeed, if you look at the Rishonim, we find it to be so. Although it's very interesting, I don't know if we'll have a chance to get back to this, that different Rishonim select different sources as their Mitzvah Saseh. For example, the Ahad and the Urayim, closest on the Samatess and Aleph and Shabbos, think that Ushmartim as HaShabbos is the source of Mitzvah Saseh and Shabbos. On the other hand, closest Samatess and Aleph, the Rambam, the Perk Aleph, Hilch Shabbos Aleph Aleph, and Perk Chaf Aleph, and the Sefer Mitzvos, do not quote Shmartim. They quote Tishbos,
the obligation, the Chodesh Agabra, to rest on Shabbos. Still others, the Ramban, based on the Gemara of Shabbos, of the Kufin base, which we'll answer in just a minute, quote a different pasuk, a pasuk of Shabbos, which focuses not on the Chodesh Agabra, the obligation to do anything to observe Shabbos, but Shabbos, to transform the day, to ensure that the day is a day of Shabbos, to ensure the character of the day. In other words, the different psukim themselves, Ushmartem, Tishbos, Shabbosim, really, they point to slightly different emphases in the theme. Are we interested in the Chodesh Agabra? Are we interested in ensuring the nature of the Yom? Is this something that merely reinforces Yisur Malacha? What is the true nature of this Mitzvah Saseh? But before we get to that, we should really challenge whether it's clear that there really is a Mitzvah Saseh. So we have a number of psukim that are candidates for being the basis for such a mitzvah. Does everybody agree that there really is a mitzvah saseh? The Baal HaTosas, Shabbos and Kuflan, the base of the base, discuss question of the principle of Ein aseh dochelos aseh, ve'ein aseh dochelos aseh v'yaseh. We have a clash between chiyubim, so normally an aseh is dochelos aseh, but not, it's not docha nasei, en alo sasei. En ase, docha lo sasei, yasei. So, Tosas adaf kuf, lamed, base of the base, Shabbos, don't have to and ask a question about, kitzitzos baheres, what'll happen if a person has to perform bris mila on the eighth day, and it's obviously indispensable to do so. But the only way to do it is to cut the baheres, that is in the place of the oral. So he's allowed to do it. So says, in Tomar, Nigmar Mimila, the Tzaras, the Dachi. Tzaras is an Asay and a Los Asay. And if you're allowed to be Docha, it's Asay and Los Asay. By virtue of Mitzvah Mila, so that seems to prove that the principle of Ein Asay, Docha, Los Asay, the Asay is incorrect. Why don't we learn it from there?
What is the law? What is the law?
Yishamar Lecha Pen, and some of the chapen is always allowed. That's the kitzitzos baheres. Yeah, when you have a positive commandment and a negative commandment, so the positive commandment, and they have to coincide or converge, so the positive commandment thrusts aside the negative commandment. For example, there's a principle that of Hebrew, that if a woman husband dies, she has no children, the brother is supposed to marry her. That's the principle of Yibum. Either he has to be the yamin her, he has to marry her, or he has to give her chalitza. Normally, a brother is not allowed to marry his brother's wife, his sister-in-law. This is an example of asei, the mitzvah asei of Yibum, being doche below asei. It might be a little more tricky than that, but it's just for yeah. When you have a clash between the positive and the negative, but the principle is, if it's positive against a positive and a negative, then of course the positive and the negative outweigh the positive. Ramban, in a very famous comment, explains in Parshas Yisro actually, that the reason that Aseh is Dochelos Aseh, the positive commandment thrusts aside the negative one, is because Ahava Docha Es Hayira. The Mitzvah Aseh represents the love of God. It's a positive expression and manifestation. Well, let's take the example here. So the Tosas asks this question. Tosas says, "Ketzitzas baheres, cutting off the baheres, saras that grows is prohibited. You're not allowed to do it. It's a positive and a negative commandment, prohibiting you to do it. On the other hand, mila mizvado is a mitzvah saseh, positive commandment that you're obligated to do. Now, there's a special limud." We learned from Sukkim that the mitzvah of Mila is docha the kitzitzas maheres. That's what Tosas is asking. Well, shouldn't we generalize from here that a regular mitzvah sasei is docha a lo sasei and an asei? I'll give you another better example because that's what we're coming to. So the Maharam of this Tosas, says, I don't understand why Tosas asks this question. They could ask another question. When you have a bris mila on Shabbos, and it's the eighth day, again, if it's a mila, shalom is not enough, for whatever reason the child wasn't healthy enough, and you had to delay the mila, you can't do it on Shabbos. You have to wait until after Shabbos. But if it's the eighth day, and the child can can be circumcised. So then the principle is that the mitzvah of milah is doche Shabbos. That's the rule. So Tosis, Rav asks, he says, well, if that's the rule, and we learn that from Zikin, why don't we derive from there that ein, that asei is doche afilu, los asei v'asei? Because in Shabbos, what do we have? 39 avos malacha, based on the principle of los asei, called malacha, a prohibition to do malacha on Shabbos, that's allowed. And we also have the assumption of the question, ein mitzvah asei, whatever it is, tishbos, shabbason, right? So you have a positive commandment and a negative commandment. How can the positive commandment of Mila thrust aside the negative and the positive of Shabbos? That's another good example. So the Maharam says a remarkable thing. He says, you see from here that Shabbos, according to Bali Tosfos, does not really have a mitzvah sase. Because otherwise Tosfos wouldn't have asked the question from Kitzitzas by Eris. If I asked you to give me an example, right, of the, you know, the question of Bris Mila, being its power to be doche. Probably the first thing that would come to your mind would not be Katsisa. How many of us have encountered Katsisa's Maharas on a regular basis? Yeah, but many of us have been to a Bris Mila on Shabbos. That happens all the time. So the fact that Tosas didn't ask this question on Shabbos, asked him about Maharas, leads the Maharam to conclude that Tosas thinks that there is no mitzvah sase on Shabbos. And he said, by the way, I should also tell you,
making the argument that there is a mitzvah sase, but he's already yotzei that mitzvah sase, and now he's only has to deal with the mitzvah sase.
No, every time the court does it, every time he does a malacha, the assumption is that he violates the yotzei and the sase. Before we get to back to the court, the court will take it, but that's the assumption. I should also mention that Tosis gives an answer to the question. It's Shomar, Ba'al Mila, she came nichlus to Allah, you'd give a brisos. We will leave you with only a question. The bris mila is unique. Because the bris mila are 13 times, just like we mentioned before, there are many parshas of Shabbos in the Torah. There are 13 times that the Torah calls Mila a bris, a covenant between Klal Yisrael and Rav Shalom. So, the point is that Mila is unique. Its ability to thrust away other mitzvos is greater than other mitzvos. So, in the end of the day, there's no problem. Except that the fact that Tosis asked the question, what he did, leads the Maharam to conclude that there is no mitzvah sasei of Shabbos. What do you do with all those psukim that sound as if they're positive expressions of Shabbos? Zachar and Tishbos and Ushmartem and Shabbason? So the Maharam says they all refer to other expressions of Kiddush. Something like what you said. Kiddush, other things. They don't have any reference to Isur Malacha. When you violate the 39 Avos Malacha, according to Tosfos, you only violate a lot, a negative command. You do not violate any mitzvah. That is the view of the Maharam in Tosis. Okay. What do you mean by that? It's kavua v'kaima, misheshes and mibrashes. Meaning, the Baruch Shalom set it up and it exists whether we observe it or not. Well, I mean, that's a very good question. The mitzvah of Kiddush, in a way, is your contribution. So I'll mention, used to explain based on the Ramban that, that the concept of Kiddush, when a person makes Kiddush on Shabbos, if he wouldn't make Kiddush, it would still be Shabbos. Because as you pointed out, it's Kavua V'Kaima, Initiations and Bereishis, it was set up at the time of Bereishis, and it continues whether you acknowledge it or observe it or not. However, the uniqueness of Kiddush is your affirmation of Shabbos adds a dimension of Kiddush, of sanctity to the day itself. So in a sense, when a person acknowledges and participates and immerses himself in the Shabbos, not only does he integrate himself in God's commandment, he also adds flavor and a dimension to the Shabbos for everybody else. In a sense, I alluded earlier to the Gemara in some of the days. The Gemara says if a person is disoriented in Midbar and doesn't know what day Shabbos is, so the Gemara says until he gets out, there's nothing he can do. But he should count 6 days and observe an artificial Shabbos. Because Shabbos is such an important concept that even if you can't get the right day, doing something is still important. That's related to your question. Meaning it's true. It is established permanently. That doesn't change. But the concept of Shabbos is something that Jews relate to and enhance by relating to it is an important factor as well. In any case, let's get back to our other issue. So according to Maharam and Tosis, there is no mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. The Sefer Mitzvah's Katan, Rabbi Yitzchak Mikarvil, one of the Tosafists, one of the Malitosis. He wrote a work on Minyan Mitzvahs. He counted 613 Mitzvahs. He omitted the Mitzvahs Aseh of Shabbos from his list. However, one of the commentators suggests that it's not because he believed that there was no Mitzvahs Aseh. It's because he believed that it shouldn't be counted in the 613, even though it exists. Because, he argued, whatever the Aseh, the positive commandment, and the negative commandment, are mirror images of each other, if they cover the same ground, you only count one. In other words, there are two issues. Is there a Mitzvahs Aseh? That's question number one. The answer is yes. Should it be counted separately in the count of 613? Not necessarily. Only if it breaks new ground. Therefore, the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, only counted the negative and not the positive. But what's interesting is, along these lines, Rav Sadia Gaon, one of the early Gaonic commentators, in his Azharos, he also counted 613 mitzvahs in different places. In one of his counts, he only counts Shabbos as a positive commandment, not as a negative. Now, of course, he doesn't deny that Shabbos, Los Asakom Malachas, the Asaros and Dibros that we read yesterday. What he did was the parallel opposite of the Smak. In other words, he also felt there is an Aseh and there's a Lav. But if you don't count two unless one breaks new ground, so which one should you count? The positive or the negative? So the Smak counted the negative. Rav Sadia Gaon counted the positive. Here already, it seems like we're gaining a glimpse into a very important perspective on the nature of Shabbos. When we look at Shabbos and we look at the 39 categories of Malacha, prohibited work that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So what is the way that how do we look at that? How do we understand that? So one way is to look at it as a series of prohibitions. No, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the next thing. These are all things that you cannot do. On the other hand, there's another perspective. That is, it's not what you can't do. The things you can't do are there in order to form a certain perspective on the day, a certain spirit of the day. It's a way of setting this day apart from others, so it isn't a run-of-the-mill, routine day of work. It's set aside. Of course, it's done. The strategy is to do that by virtue of prohibitions. But what are these prohibitions? Prohibitions that demand that you not while away the day of Shabbos, business as usual, but that you take off time, right, that you reflect on your purpose, tachlis, masabrachis, that you truly appreciate the purpose of creation through Shabbos. So the way the argument is whether or not, if you're going to count either, you have a choice. Basically, there is an essay and there's a lot. The only question is, which one should you count? Positive or the negative? Possibly, could revolve around this perspective. Do we look at Shabbos prohibitions more in the negative, more as prohibitions, things that you're not allowed to do? Or do we look at them more as a strategy for ensuring a certain quality of sanctity during the day? In which case, if you have to choose to put it under rubric of the positive or the negative, you would actually put it under the positive rather than the negative. So basically what we've seen so far is three perspectives. We have Balitosis, who say that there's only a lot. We have the Smak and Rav Sadia Gaon, who probably believe that there is a lav and an aseh, but who choose to count only one. The Smak counts only the negative. Rav Sadia Gaon counts only the positive. Most of the commentators who count both. The Rambam, in his famous count of 613, counts both. Sefer Achinuch, the Sefer Mitzvot Gadol, most of the Rishonim count an aseh and a lav. Just one more second. The question that we have to raise for them is twofold. Number one, if they count them both, are there differences between them? Is there anything that's included in one that is not in the other? Number one. And number two, what is the conceptual relationship between the positive and the negative? Are they indeed, certainly, sorry, different items on the list, that would imply that they have a different meaning. And even if they don't have different items on the list, maybe one is purely 39 Avos Malacha, the other is also just the 39 Avos Malacha. But just as we said, for the Smak, there's an emphasis on the negative, and for Obsanja, there's an emphasis on the positive. It could be that the Rambam and the Smak and the Chinuch believe that we have to emphasize each of these separately, because there really are two different concepts on Shabbos, expressed in a single way, but two concepts. A concept of the positive focus establishment of the day, the spirit of the day, and at the same time, underscoring every violation is an unacceptable violation. Yeah. You have a question? I mean, could you interpret Tosfos the way that that the smack was interpreted on say? I think you could. Maran doesn't. Maran says that there simply is no los asay, that there is simply no asay. I think in theory one. Okay. So the first thing to look at would be, are there discrepancies in lists? Are the things that are included in the asay and not in the lab, or that are included in the lab and not the asay? That would provide us with a clue to figuring out, it's almost like detective work, whether or not we're dealing with two different themes of Shabbos. Very important for us to know that so we can observe Shabbos better and appreciate the scope of that day. The first thing to look at is the question of drabbans. What do I mean by drabbans? Of course, there are there are laws that are d'oraisa that are biblical, and there are laws that are rabbinic. Generally speaking, when the Torah speaks about something, the Torah is the Bible, so you're talking about biblical laws, dinim d'oraisa, dinim d'arabinato. Seems even strange to raise the question whether or not rabbinic prohibitions, which are added on to the biblical corpus, might be included in a biblical law. What do we even mean by that? But the truth is that the Chilta and the Sifra, in early rabbinic literature, are some references that actions that really are only rabbinic in nature violate the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. For example, if you tell a non-Jew to do malacha for you, to do one of the 39 categories of malacha on Shabbos, you ask him to open light. You ask him to build something for you. So that is only rabbinic in nature as a prohibition. Nonetheless, there are some sources that seem to say if you do that, you violate the mitzvah saseh, positive commandment of Shabbos. How can that be? So Rashi quotes this in Parshas Bo. And Ramban, Nachmanides, in his Pirush on the Torah, Parshas Bo, says, obviously, these are not to be taken literally. They're asmachta b'alma, meaning they're not really halachos. Because how could a rabbinic law be in a biblical text? It just doesn't make any sense. It's got to be that these are what we call asmachta b'alma. They're like mnemonic devices as a way of strengthening our commitment to the rabbinic law. So we associate it with a biblical verse, but it really isn't from that verse. That's how the Ramban explains it in the Parsha. However, the fact is that there is other evidence as well. If you turn to the Gemara Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in Shabbos, which I think we do have here, you'll see the following. First, in the section, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Lo, Amar Rav Hava, Amar Rav Huna. Yom Kippur Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. What happens if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? It happens quite often. Also, B'Knivas Yerek. You're not allowed to prepare the vegetables, to shave the vegetables, anticipating the end of the fast. On a regular Yom Kippur, you're allowed to shave or prepare the vegetables in order, as you're anticipating the end of the fast, because of Shemagmas Nefesh. It helps your fast or hurts your fast, whatever it is. That's a topic in its own right. But you're allowed to do that. And if it falls out on Shabbos, so now we encounter an argument in the Gemara. Amar Abban. Tanda, we learn, I have the Yom Kippur of Shekhalios B'Shabbos, also B'Kivas Yerek. How do you know that you cannot, that if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you cannot do this preparation, not because it's Yom Kippur, but because it's Shabbos. Talmud Lomar, Shabbason. Because the Torah says about Shabbos, Shabbason, it's a day of rest. Shavos, that means rest. Don't do things like Knivas Yerek. Lamai, what does that refer to? If it refers only to the 39 categories of malacha, vaksiv, the Torah says, lo sasa kol malacha, parsha that we just read yesterday. Lo sasa kol malacha, the Torah already said, in the negative that you're not allowed to do malacha. Rather, it refers to knivas yerek, Knivas Yerek is not a biblical prohibition, because the object is already detached from the ground. It's just a rabbinic prohibition. Shema Aminah. Amra Kevara Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Kippur, Shkol Yosef Shabbos. Again, same idea. Mutar Knivas Yerek. Other rule. You are allowed to do it even though it's Shabbos. They say, Gemara asks, Inayin the Yom Kippur, Shkol Yosef Shabbos, Shosef Knivas Yerek. How do you know that you're not allowed to do this? Talmud Lomar Shabbosom, Shabbos. He's supposed to rest. Lama Ilay Malamalacha. And allowed the Knivas Yerek, it must refer to things like Knivas Yerek that aren't biblical in nature, and yet you're not allowed to do them on Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, no. Le'olam l'malacha. The pasuk of Shabbos also prohibits malacha. The lav r'olam b'aseh v'lam saseh. It's to teach you that when you violate malacha on Shabbos, you get not only a lav, a negative prohibition, but a positive prohibition as well. You violated two things. So if you look at Tosis on the spot, this is one beat. Tosim second Shabbos, Elikivas Yerek, Nira Larida, Smach Levi Alma, Imid Araisa, Yemakipur Nami Litzar. Tosis says, this has to be a Din Drabana. This idea that Knivas Yerek, shaving the vegetables, which isn't one of the 39 Oves of Malacha, is included in Shabbosom, that cannot be literally true, because it's a biblical verse, and it's a rabbinic prohibition. So it's got to be a smach to be a mnemonic kind of a device. Okay. Kiva de Dorais also called Shabbos Hashanah, Hachelo Shavina, Mishuvak Masnefesh. I'm on the Kodif Silka Chayevstein, also my Rebbe Mechuba, Och I Rebbe Talush, can appear as Mekotris. Okay. So basically, Tosa says the whole thing is rabbinic. And how does he know it? Because if it was really biblical, then what about Yom Kippur itself? Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to know. So how could you do Knivas Yerek after you shave the vegetables on a regular Yom Kippur, which wasn't Shabbos? The answer to to that question is found already in Rashi. Tosfos ignored it. Look at the previous Rashi says, Elav Knivas Yerek Bi'al, of the Tolosh. The midi Lav Malacha, Koy Alev Ba'aseh de Shabbos on Shabbos. The Kima de Medaraisa, also called Shabbos HaShabbos. Hachalo Sharina Mishumag Masnefesh, Lamid Chiyis and Araisa. Shar Yom Kippur, Shar Rilag Mas Nefesh. On a regular Yom Kippur, it's permitted to do Knivas Yerek. Afal Gav, Vitziv Einavi Shabbosom, Shvos. Shabbosom is written by Yom Kippur too, and if it really was biblical, it should be prohibited at every Yom Kippur. Lav mi malacha, that would be called Dabra Amahake Mi'alis Anos. Vidisamchina Levin Nisan. Tosfos Rashi is an amazing thing, which we don't have time to follow through with, but Rashi says, the pasuk of Shabbos on Shavuos on Yom Kippur, even though it's the same words, has a totally different meaning. There it refers to what's unique to Yom Kippur. What is unique to Yom Kippur? Fasting. So it teaches you fasting and all of its appurtenances. But on Shabbos, it refers to the additions to Malacha. Now, according to Rashi, it seems clear against Tosfos that this is Minhag Torah. How could it be that a biblical verse refers to something that is rabbinic in nature? So the Ramban himself, a very famous, famous passage, explains this. Ramban says, the next piece, page number two. If you go to the second paragraph, Avalonis Bara Lizeh. Everybody have that? Second paragraph in Ramban. Shim Tomar Shua Smachta. If this is only a mnemonic rabbinic device, am I holding on to the shear or something? Matam shiyomer b'lashon zeh ki shvos b'lashon nemar le'olam el shel divrayim. Eichi tachein lomar dvarim shen asur mishum shvos shel divrayim. Minayin shen asur minatuv minakasim. How can you say that something that is rabbinic is prohibited in a biblical way? It doesn't make sense. Derech hasmachtos l'shanos she'ei min ha-Torah. O'shi yom b'davar zeh shu b'divrei sofer minayin min ha-Torah. Aval hayol ha-lo amar dvarim she'ei malacha minayin tam lama shabasa. This is objection to the normal reading. Now comes the punchline. V'nirali, it seems to me, sh'amidrash hazeh lomar sh'nitzdaveinu min ha-Torah li'os lanu menucha b'yom tov, Shabbos en yom tov, the Torah demands that we behave in a certain manner on this day. And we treat it with respect, and it'd be a day of rest. A day that is unusual and unique, and that stands out in the rest of the week. Afilu midvarim she'en malacha. Lo she yitrach kol hayom limdor atzvuos v'lish kol haperos. If a person is going to say, you know what? The only thing that I'm not allowed to do is the 39 avos melacha. Anything else I'm allowed to do. So basically, what will he end up doing? I'm not going to read anymore. What he will end up doing is, he could have business as usual. He could have an eruv around his town. He could have this business open. Right? He could take orders. That way he's not to write. And he would have a regular day of business as usual. The Ramban says, is that Shabbos? Even if you don't violate one of the 39 avos melacha, if you find mechanisms to treat Shabbos like any other day, you violate the principle, the spirit of Shabbos. And that is certainly asur min haTorah, even if it expresses itself in applications that are only rabbinic in nature. So it emerges that according to the Ramban, the asay of Shabbos and the lav of Shabbos are two different concepts. The lav of Shabbos establishes that each of these 39 avos melacha is an intrinsic isur, a violation of the sanctity of the day. The asay of Shabbos establishes that Shabbos transcends what you're not allowed to do. Shabbos means you have to relate to the day as a yom menucha, a day of appreciation, a day of tachlis vice and righteous. If you look at the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam, based on Tzukim, again we read yesterday, when he explains the mitzvahs haasei of Shabbos, includes shvisas eved and shvisas behema. You're not allowed to have your slave and your animal work for you on Shabbos either. He doesn't mention that when it comes to the law, because the law is focused very much on the prohibition itself. But the asay of Shabbos is all about the spirit of the day, the way that you relate to the day. The Rajba in Masechet Yevamos has a distinction in the other direction. He says, listen, the fact is, there's something called mechamah. I instigate an animal to work on my behalf on Shabbos. I inspire the animal to carry something. He says, that is included in the law of losas kol melacha. But if you do it, you don't violate the asay of Shabbason or Shvisa the Shabbos. Because in a way, you're in your Shabbos clothes, you're not doing anything. You know, the animal's doing all the work. So it's technically considered like a remote control performance of Isur Malacha, but you didn't violate the spirit of the day. That's the Rajba's, Rebbe's suggestion. So what we've seen is that there can be several items on the list of the asay that's not on the list of the law, or vice versa, on the list of the lav, that's not on the list of the asay. If this is the case, we can understand one other thing. There are many other things behind it. Time is apparently up. So let me just mention one thing very quickly. The Gemara in Masech Shabbos, Sabbates of Aleph, wants to figure out how it is that a person is it conceivable that a person could ever violate all 39 malachos at the same time? How do you do that? It has to be that you don't know any of the malachos. Mark points out, if you don't know, you have to have a certain level of knowledge for your ignorance to be significant. That sounds like a funny concept. It's true. If you don't know anything about Shabbos, we're not going to charge you for the violation of each and every malacha, because it's much more basic than that. Now, you don't know anything about Shabbos. You have to have minimum knowledge for your ignorance then to the action. So the Gemara says, if you don't know any of the 39 avos melacha, right? So how could you bring 39 karbonos? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says are 39 avos melacha, and they spell it out because if you did all of them in one halavacha, in one state of ignorance, you'd bring 39 karbonos. The Gemara says, how do you ever have that case? He doesn't know enough, right, to be in violation of the 39. So the Gemara gives all sorts of suggestions. So Tosas in Shabbos says, why didn't the Gemara say he knows about the mitzvah saseh? He doesn't know anything about the lav, the 39 avos melacha, but he knows that there's a mitzvah saseh to rest on Shabbos. That's zod on Shabbos, and then he can be chayav for shigas melacha. So Tosis isn't sure. More importantly, the Ramban isn't sure. The Ramban has two views. The Ramban says, yes, in Ochanami, if he knew about Shabbos, the aseh, that would be enough, and he'd be in violation of the 39 avos melacha. Or, maybe it isn't enough. I just want to leave you with this idea. The Ramban, of all people, who developed the concept that even a violation of rabbinic law can violate the biblical concept of Shvisa b'Shabbos. Because Shabbos isn't just about what you can. It's about respect for the spirit of the day. Right? So, what Ramban demonstrated more than anyone is this concept of the day is so crucial to our observance of Shabbos. So, why wouldn't that be Zadon Shabbos to make him qualify for Shigigas Malach, to bring karbanos for each and every Malach? I think the answer is as follows. Let me just give you one mashal. The Ritva in Shabbos asks a similar question. He says, let's say the person knows about Kiddush. There's many Jews who know about Kiddush. They don't know anything else about Shabbos. Sad. He knows he's supposed to make Kiddush on Shabbos. He doesn't know anything about the 39 of his Malach. So say he's Zadon Shabbos. He knows a little. Therefore, you should buy him. So the Ritva says, Kiddush is very important. But if you only know Kiddush, then you don't even know Kiddush. If all you know about Shabbos is the spirit of the day, and you don't know that there are specific prohibitions that give substance, the norm, as it will, if you don't know that, then you don't know the thing that you know either because it's out of context. I think this is the idea of Rambam. Rambam says, if you know the Lama Tesalvus Malacha, you have an understanding of the meat and potatoes of Shabbos. So then you have to understand, it isn't just about what you can. It's about the opportunity of Shabbos as a day of spirituality. But if all you know is about the spirit and you don't know any substance, then there's no spirit. And in a sense, as I conclude, Shabbos is very much a microcosm of Halacha, of Judaism in that respect. What's unique about Judaism is precisely the interplay between these two things. Between the norm, the substance, the fact that we have measured actions and prohibitions, but at the same time that it leads to a spirit, to a encouragement to achieve in the area of Kedusha and Saint. We have both of these together, the Asay and the Los Asay of Shabbos. It is indeed Tachlis, Vice Gracious. Thank you.